Right, good Saturday morning, St. Louis. Here we are. You're here. You made it. You've come. You're at the Home Improvement Show. Thanks, guys, for spending part of your weekend with me today. I'm Rich Orris. I'm your host, and I'm here every week to kind of help you take some stress and the guesswork out of your home, your upkeep, your home improvement, whatever those needs are for you, whether you live in a century-old brick beauty in the city, you have a ranch somewhere in the county, or maybe you have a newer build out in the suburbs. Every home comes with its own set of questions, quirks, just stuff that goes on with it. There's different levels of different things that happen with every type, age of home and building practice. And that's exactly what we're here to talk to you today about, those fixes, those upgrades, and the how-tos and that can make your house feel more like a home to you. Whether you got a dripping faucet that's driving you crazy, wondering whether it's time to replace some of those old drafty windows, can you fix them? Do you need to replace them? We can help you through a lot of this stuff. Or maybe you are just dreaming big, thinking of a big kitchen remodel, a finished basement, a bathroom that actually works for you and for your family and for your guest. Whatever's on your mind, I'm here today to help you out. And we've got 2 full hours for you. No Cardinals till a little bit later in the afternoon. So we got a full show ready to go for you. Whatever your needs, we're taking your calls today, 314-436-7900. So go ahead, jump on the line, and it just doesn't matter. If you're a DIYer, a weekend warrior, or maybe you'd rather hand that hammer off to a professional, we've got the advice right here to help you today make a smart, lasting improvement to your home. We can help you out. Any questions? None are too big, none are too small. It really doesn't matter. We can help you and your home. So give me a call again, 314-436-7900. What is going on this weekend at your place? I'll tell you what's going on at my place. We got last night, I mentioned that dripping faucet. And we do cover a lot on life expectancies of different products, different fixtures, just all sorts of products for your home, from the roof all the way down to faucets. And I know we're always kind of frustrated in thinking about how everything just doesn't seem to last like it used to. And the way we build and the way we make things and change things and the more moving parts. And so last night it was my kitchen faucet, and it's not real old because we've only been in this house for if I had to guess, around 11 years now, maybe. And I installed it. And so I know it's less than 10 years old. And it's one of those touch faucets. It's really cool. We love it. You touch the faucet, the water comes on. You touch it, you can kind of hit it with your forearm or your elbow if your hands are dirty. There's a lot of benefits to having that. But last night, my son's at the sink, and he's like, "Well, look at this. This is kind of dripping." And me and my wife were both like, "Ooh, we haven't seen it do that before." And I'm like, "Yeah, no." And he kind of played around with it, turn it on and off. We kind of hit the sprayer nozzle and change that up a little bit and back again and turned it off by the handle to stop the drip. Because, of course, there is a handle. You can turn it off by the handle. And then that's kind of the manual shut off like a normal faucet like they all have. And so then it stopped. And then we tried it again later, and it's working fine, and there's no more drip. And so now in my mind, this is stuck in the back of my mind. It's not going to go away. I'm like, okay, so when's this thing break? When's it going to keep dripping? Because there's kind of a separate shutoff for that electric battery-operated touch mechanism that shuts it on and off, and then the manual handle does it separately. So I'm just kind of thinking now, well, okay, I got to start planning for that next project of as soon as that thing starts really getting bad, I'm probably going to be in the market for a new faucet, because these are hard to fix. They're hard to repair. And then you kind of look at it and you're like, well, what kind of lasting value do I get out of a repair? It's obviously long out of warranty for a moving kind of shut off object like that, I'm sure. So you pay some money, you try and fix it. You're battling it. If it doesn't work well, you're fixing it every year or two after that. It drives you kind of crazy. And so for me, a lot of times I've seen so much of that that I go straight into the just get a new faucet as soon as it happens, get something with, again, another lasting value. You don't have to think about that again for maybe possibly that 10 years or so. But you think about it and you go, man, I've been so many homes that the faucets were so much older than 10 years and they lasted fine. But it was the manual shut off. They were made a little differently. And these things are better, cooler, smarter. They do things that we love, but the more you do that, just the more that can go wrong and then kind of shortens that life expectancy. And the other thing you got to think of too is just the labor that's entailed in working on a faucet like that. What does a plumber make if you need to get a plumber in there? And so a lot of times the professional plumbers, they'll have kind of the same theory that I conclude to all the time because of the cost of that labor. They're like, well, I could fix this for, just make math easy, a $50 part, but you're going to spend $150 an hour to work on this. So if it takes me 2 hours and it's $300 labor and a $50 part, well, if it happens again in a year or two, do you do that again? And now are you $700 and did the cost of that raise in that time? So maybe now you're $800 because in a couple of years, everything kind of went up like $50, let's guess. So now you got $800 into it. And if you bought a $300 faucet and paid him $300 to put it in, you'd have been $600 into a 10-year plan instead of $350 into a gambling question. Do you gamble on your repairs? And that's where the weekend warrior DIYer comes in, like myself, because I can do a lot of this stuff. So I may look at it and say, okay, well, what can I do for this repair just to think about it and balance? It's what we always have to kind of talk about and compare and think about is, okay, now if I do the repair, I'm saving myself the $300 labor because I get to do it myself. Now, how valuable is my time and do I have the skill set to perform something like that is where the questions lie. But if you buy the $50 part and it only lasts you a couple of years, you get the faucet, you put the faucet in yourself. Well, now you're only $350 in and you've paid yourself $600 worth of labor time that you didn't have to shovel out to someone else. That's a great way to do it. And that's why the DIYer exists. That is, labor is such a large function of what we do and how we do it and what it costs anymore these days with inflation and expenses where everything has gone. It's amazing what the trades make, and we're finally starting to see there's still a labor shortage happening. There's still not enough out there, but we are seeing more and more younger workers come in and start to want to take these positions on because they are starting to pay well enough that you can live and survive, and it's good. It is a good trade. It is a good place to be, especially if that's kind of your personality and your skill set, and you learn those. It is a great place. It's a great job. It's a great thing that can avoid college, so you don't have the expense of all of that getting into this career. But in our position with our homes, we have to kind of really do a lot of research and a lot of thinking about and predicting and figuring out these projects, because the labor nowadays is getting so costly that that's why we get into a lot of people saying, just get the new faucet because it's going to cost you less in the end over the years if you just get it done and get it done now. So that's my dilemma. It hopefully won't have to happen for quite a while. Maybe we won't see that drip again for quite a while, but are you seeing that drip? What do you have going on? We're going to jump into our first break, but I'm here. I'm live. I'm lively for you. Let's see what you got going on. Feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. Stay right here. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you today. Every Saturday, 11 to 1, we're coming in, we're helping out, answering questions, having some really great conversations with the homeowners, with the listeners, and there's such a variation of houses in our area, from the city all the way out to the suburbs, to O'Fallon and Wentzville, and there's just such a grand difference in age of homes and style of homes and the turn of the century and the World War II ranches. And it is St. Louis is a great place to be. And there's a wide variety of living types of living types of homes, areas to be in. It's a great place, and it's suited for everybody, and we can help you out here today. I know everybody's kind of doing your thing. Maybe you're getting ready to run to a big box store and pick up some flowers for around the house, or some materials to fix some areas around your house. What are you doing? What are you working on? We can help you out today right here live. You can give me a call, 4 314-436-7900. I'm sure it's everybody's starting to get outside. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be nice and warm, and a lot to do around the house. For me, I was actually hoping to get the power washer back out and maybe finish up some of the power washing that I did not get done over the long holiday weekend last weekend. So got more on my list like that I need to try and complete. I'm sure you're doing it too. It sounds like Gretchen's probably got something she's working on also. So let's jump right to the phones. Gretchen, okay. Are you there? What's going on?
I'm here. Well, I have storm damage. It's an old house. I need a new roof. Was put on in 1990. And anyway, I had somebody come out and check it out, and I will call the adjuster, but he noticed the edge on the front part of my roof, the gutter, the fascia, and the soffit, just on the end of the roof. I mean, it's not. I just hope I don't have to get a whole new gutter, and I hope they can just fix the fascia. It looks like it's coming apart. Before the storm, I always did a walk around, and there was a pooch on it. After the storm in March, it seems like it has fallen. So I don't know, is the wood rotted, or I don't even know if there is wood up there. I don't understand the fascia soffit in the gutter.
Sure. Is your house, is it vinyl sided?
No, it's aluminum. And I'm looking at it right now so I can understand what's going on.
So what you're seeing is kind of a white piece of aluminum metal that goes behind the gutter on what we're calling that fascia, and then do you have like a soffit material that's aluminum or something like that, of a siding material that runs from that fascia back to the house?
Well, like I said, it's on the very end of the house. It's it's probably 2 feet to 3 feet. The rest of it is securely attached. Now, the bottom part, is that the fascia or is that the soffit?
So the bottom part is the soffit, the part.
Okay, it's coming away from the gutter.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, no more than 2 feet, I would say, looking at it.
Okay. So yeah, it is hard to work on the what we call the fascia board that's behind that gutter without doing something to the gutter. If it's small, if it's a couple feet, they can possibly, if it's pulling away, they can possibly try and reattach that with some really long screws through everything to kind of get that wood. So basically what you have is there is a piece of wood behind that metal, and it's kind of running vertical up and down that your gutter attaches to, and that wood is attached to your rafters or your trusses, whatever your roof framing is. And so when it rots or pulls away, it'll take the gutter with it, and everything kind of creates a space away from the roof. So if it is towards an edge with a cap and on the side of the gutter, a lot of times if that's where your gutters lose water, that's where they can overflow if they're not angled real well or if they're backed up. So there could be the wood rotting behind the aluminum metal, and that's what's causing it to pull away. And what happens is your storm makes it move because it's not attached real well and the wood's rotted. So when the storm moves it, it moves it even more than it would if it were not rotted and attached well. So chances are you probably have some rot back there, and they will need to pull the gutter away or take the gutter down in order to change, to take off the metal and to change that rotted board, and then everything goes back.
Well, I know I'm going to need a new roof. The roof was put on in 1990, only one, and probably I'm going to tell them to put on new boards. Well, should I tell them, since it's 1990, should I just tell them to put all new boards up on the roof?
Oh, you mean like the plywood decking underneath?
Yeah, the deck. Okay, they call it decker.
Yep.
Back in the day, I called my husband. He was a roofer. He called it a board.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's passed on, so I can't ask him. I know I need a whole brand new roof. I lost a lot of shingles in the storm of March of 14th, 2025. And I wouldn't mind if they could just replace the whole gutter in the front of the house. That was because the downspout. But in the back, well, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's from rotting wood, and so.
Yeah, but your roof decking, you really, Gretchen, shouldn't need to replace all of that. And even on very, very old homes with roof decking, or some old homes, they have exactly what your husband talked about, like actual boards. They're about 8 inches, like 1x8s, that on a really old home. That would be that roof board. And even on a home that's like 80 years old, when they strip the roof and go to put a new roof, they'll find the bad areas of those boards, that roof decking, and they'll advise you to replace the bad areas. But if there's not, if the whole thing's not bad, there's really still no reason to replace the whole thing. So you don't need to have that expense on all of it. Just where it needs it, and they'll find it when they strip that roof off.
Okay, well, that answers my question. Thank you so much. I understand a little more. There's probably a rotted area,
yep.
And it's only a 3 foot to maybe 3 to 2 foot. I'm not sure, but it's not very big. So
yeah.
Well, anyway, I understand, and I'll tell them if the boards or the deck. Decking on top of the actual roof. The house was built in 1950. It's a ranch under 1,000 square feet inside the house. So anyway, I'll tell them only replace what's rotted.
Yep. Nope. That's a good plan. And your gutter will be kind of the same thing I was explaining in the last segment with labor versus material. Is if they're taking a gutter down and they go to put it back, the cost of the gutter is so minimal that it's worth upgrading to the new gutter, because a lot of times, too, if your roof was 1990 or older and your gutters are 1990 or older, you probably have a smaller, either a 4-inch or a 5-inch gutter, and now they're going to 6 to handle more water and to work better. So it's worth the upgrade in that material because they're performing all the labor anyways. So you might as well buy the gutter.
Yeah, I think that I understand. I was listening to the plumbing problem and the labor.
Yeah.
I understand. So.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway, you know, I don't know anything about that. I only listen to you for everything because I understand a lot and learn. And this has really helped me. I can make my decision, and I have a good roofer, I think. And, okay,
good.
I understand it. If I have any more questions, I will call again on Saturday. Always listen.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. This is the school of learning.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, Gretchen. That is really, really awesome. I love the kind words. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. We're going to get into our middle hour break here. Laura, if you could sit tight. We will come to you as soon as we return. Everybody else, stay with us. More Home Improvement Show right after this. All right, here we go, and here we are, Home Improvement Show. Got plenty of time for everybody today. Feel free to jump in the lines. Anything you need about your home, 314-436-7900. Get you right to me, just like Laura did. We got a question here. Laura, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can
awesome.
You hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having the show. I have a frostproof spigot, and I've had it for, I know, at least probably 5 years. And I went to turn the water on, connected my hose, and went to turn the water on. And it works, but it's cattywampus, the handle of the spigot. And it's like, I feel like there's, it, when I'm turning it off, it kind of goes sideways and it's like skipping. It keeps turning when it should be stopping, even though the water, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So do I just have to replace the handle or the whole thing that goes through the pipe?
Well, so it will depend on... where the issue is with the handle. So it sounds like the handle itself, it has grooves that go into grooves onto that the pipe coming out of the wall, and then you tighten the screw, and when you turn it the grooves are turning the inside part. So if the grooves are wore on the handle itself, which is usually the case 90% of the time, then you can buy a new handle, put it on. You got to make sure it fits the right size, the right grooves, and then you can just replace the handle, and it should start working fine.
Now, you're talking about the frostproof kind, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know that had grooves on that plastic piece.
Sometimes it's square. Sometimes it's grooves, you know, kind of like spokes. Sometimes it's just a square piece so that's why you got to take that handle off, look at it, make sure the piece coming out of the spigot itself looks like it's in good shape, which it usually is because it's metal and your handle's plastic.
Right.
And so usually most times just replacing that handle works, and just the easiest thing is to take that handle with you to the store.
Exactly.
Just make sure you find the exact same thing. Maybe ask for some advice if someone's around, if you find somebody, and then get that handle replaced. If it's on the actual spigot itself in that metal, then you're into like just replacing the spigot itself. It's kind of hard to replace just that inner piece and all that, because it shuts off so far back and everything that it's typically easier just to cut the pipe off, pull the whole spigot out, and put a new spigot if it's the actual metal, but it's rarely the metal.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you so much for your help.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, you too. Thanks for the call. Good question. We got Bill. Oh, we just lost Bill. Bill was there, and he just went away. So, Bill, if you have something, we dropped the call somehow, give us a call back. And anybody else can give us a call back again, 314-436-7900. Jumps you right back in with me. Anything you got happening, anything you got going on, we can help you out. and get with you and see what we can do. And I know there's a lot of homeowners out there doing what I'm hoping to do this afternoon. You're going to get out, you're fixing that spigot handle, you're using your weekend time to clean things up, fix things up. And of course, again, with a lot of the conversations we had last week and with all the storm damage that we have had in not even just the past couple weeks, the past few weeks, but the past few months, we've had so many different storms. It's from March on, it's been pretty incredible. So going outside, doing that walkabout, taking a look around and just looking for anything out of the ordinary. And it's a good thing to do in a lot of circumstances, even not just storm damage, but if you're hearing weird sounds, if you're hearing maybe animals inside your wall, inside your attic, you have anything like that going on from the inside, it is a great idea to just walk around the house and kind of like the conversation with Gretchen, you don't really have to know how to fix your gutter, your fascia board, to be able to see it and go, wow, that looks crooked. That looks like it's pulling away and maybe squirrels are getting in that area, or a big enough area, raccoons, they will pull the ridge vent up and dig their way through your roof and end up with a leak that way. There's so many things that can happen that if you walk around the house can really show up, be pretty obvious. And that's one thing that gets missed a lot is the kind of storm comes, storm goes, out of sight, out of mind. You're like, everything seems to be fine. But if you really walk around, when you pull up, drive in, you kind of glance, but you don't see everything. So I highly advise take the time to do that walkabout. And I know it's also deck season. We're getting into cleaning up. Last weekend, I power washed my deck, getting ready for the season here, cleaning up the outside so we can spend some good quality time outside. And so maybe after this break, when we return, we can talk a little bit about those decks and what to look for in inspecting a deck. And you go to power wash, just kind of look for some things to make sure that everything looks okay. We can go over a deck inspection, and we can also go over whatever's happening at your home. Don't forget, we got plenty of time for you. 314-436-7900 finds me right here. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. We've got plenty of topics, plenty of things that we can go over with you about your house. I've got a whole list of things I can inform you on and talk about. But remember, keep in mind, this is your show. This is your topics. This is your questions, your comments, your concerns. Last week, we had a lot of just conversations, more so even than just questions of should we worry about storm chasers. And a lot of people were calling in with ideas of just what they do to kind of protect themselves. What do they look for? It was a lot of fun, and it was great conversations, and I love it, and I appreciate it. And anything that you need, I'm here for you after this segment. We've got a whole nother hour coming into. So again, 314-436-7900 will bring you right into me. Anything you have going on. Now, talking about deck season, getting out there, looking at my deck last weekend, I'm power washing, I'm doing things, and there's kind of a list that I go over, kind of a 6-point inspection plan for a deck of the areas that you really want to look at and address. And it starts right off with the surface, with the materials. If it's wood, just looking at the wood, the surface of the wood. Is it splitting? Is it cracking? Is it decaying? Are there any soft spots, rotted spots? And even with composite decks, the newer deck floors, the newer surroundings of composite material around the deck, the biggest thing we see just with those materials is how are they attached? Are they good and sturdy? Are they warping at all? The biggest issue that I see as I go around and inspect decks and talk to people about building decks is we've got just how they're installed and how often do they put screws to hold it straight and hold it flat. And they miss a lot of that and they don't put enough. And that's why it's kind of wavy and it just warps all over. And it's really the installation process. So look at those materials for how they're attached and are they warping or are they pulling away from the deck? But hey, we've got some calls coming in, so let's jump straight to Bob here and see what Bob's got going on. Are you there? You hear me, Bob?
Yes, sir.
There you are. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, first of all. And then my question would be about, I got a new roof about 5-6 months ago. Of course, I'm a victim of the storm damage like everybody else.
Yeah.
So the insurance company is going to, has paid me for a roof replacement. Of course, and I don't believe it's going to be enough. You know, the prices have gone up.
Uh-huh.
The cost for shingles, labor, everything, But would they have to rip off that drip edge that they put down again to put the new roof on there? Because I'm assuming that they will. And,
Yeah,
go ahead.
Typically they will, just because as they're stripping that roof, that drip edge, first of all, if it's done properly the first time, they're going to be pulling off some material possibly that's underneath that drip edge. So the drip edge kind of comes with it, and, or they just damage the drip edge because they got those shovels and they're going fast.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of like, if you slow down and take your time and try and save it, it's not worth the cost of the drip edge.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Cause I did my own gutter carts and everything last year. Of course, it saved me a lot of money. Of course, this year it looks like I'm going to get some gutter. The insurance company has agreed to pay for some of the guttering. It was already old. It's a 4-inch gutter and probably need to be upgraded. But I'm an old dude.
Yeah.
So I didn't think. I thought, if I do it myself here, I'll get 20 years. If I make it till 86, it'll be great.
Yeah.
If I don't, I won't. But it just kind of sounds like I'm going to have to spend a little extra money in that case and, have them redo all that. And,
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure, how the insurance is going to handle this whenever, they've already depreciated the roof, after only 5 months.
And that's pretty amazing, but it shouldn't have been a great deal of depreciation for sure. Now on your gutter covers, your gutter guards, are they guards that are just in the gutter or do they connect to the roof at all?
No, I fastened them to, I had to custom bend them, cause it was a warehouse, off the shelf product, I custom bent them so that they'd fit right in under the drip edge so that, when the water came off, it would go right there. Bing, bang, boom, right into the gutter system. And, they didn't hardly take any beating at all. It actually probably saved most of the gutters, from being damaged severely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was that one section at the southwest corner that took the brunt, and it just started pulling everything away, the wind and, the combination of the wind and such that and the large hail that we had just, really beat the heck out of all that.
Yep. And that's why I usually recommend the type you're talking about, the gutter guards, gutter covers that just affect the gutter, go into the gutter, because they can get damaged too, and insurance will pay to replace them. But if you get the helmet types that connect to your roof, every time you get a roof, they all have to come off and they all have to go on, or all new end up getting put on. and it just adds more expense, and you got to remind the insurance company about that a lot of times. Sometimes they'll ignore it, and then you find out later there's more expense. So there could be a lot of work with the insurance on the homeowner's side of making sure they're putting everything in it. So awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got for you. I can just say I'm saying my prayers and keep my fingers crossed for all the people out there who have had this type of damage, and knowing that we're going to have an just probably can't get around it.
Yep. Yeah, it's totally unfortunate. So, hey, appreciate the call. Let's jump to Brad real quick. We've got about a minute and a half. Brad, maybe we can get your question started and pick it back up in the next hour. What's going on?
I'm helping somebody out with refinishing their deck, and the previous owner put a real thick stain on it, and the stain didn't bond very well to the wood, and we tried power washing it, and we got about half the stain up. Is it just best at this point just to try to sand that deck down? And then what kind of sander? Is it just an orbital sander you get from a rental store, or what would you think?
Yeah, you could try strippers, but that can be really nasty and really messy, and you'll still end up with some sanding. Even if you get most of it off with the liquid stripper, you'll end up needing to sand some areas. But yeah, you're kind of 6-inch wide random orbital on each board. If it's real bad, if it's real thick, you can start out with a belt sander and then switch to the random orbital and then switch your paper from rougher to finer to kind of get it smoothed off. And the other thing you got to watch out for is sanding down to the nails or the screws. A lot of time you got to either pound all those nails in a little bit deeper as you go, because you'll end up hitting them and ruining that sandpaper real quick. So, yeah. But sanding's probably, you know, just depending on that stain, if you start to sand and it's gooping up so much, you might want to go to a stripper. But hey, we got to get into our hour break here. I appreciate that question, Brad. Jim, if you can hang the line through the news, we will get to you as soon as we return next hour.